And I want to go work for the American people. And I want to make life better for Republicans, independents, even Democrats, even liberal Democrats. I want to make their life better. And if they're honest with themselves, they will admit that 4 years ago, their life was better under President Trump. And we're going to get some great policies in there and make everyone's life better and safer and more prosperous.
Carrie Lake, welcome to State House Podcast. We're honored to have you come on the show. And for those of our listeners and viewers that may not recognize your very recognizable name right off the bat, you're running for United States Senate right. in the state of Arizona in the most consequential race, my opinion, but I think it is the most consequential race in this election coming up.
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure. All you have to do is win.
I agree. It is. You know, I said that and I thought, okay, people must think I'm you know, being boastful. No, I mean, it's a fact. Aside from the presidential race, which I think is the most important, I think it's right up there equally as important because we want to deliver the White House to the Republicans. And I believe that Republican will be Donald J. Trump. But can you imagine the nightmare scenario if Chuck Schumer is controlling the Senate? I don't even want to imagine that. And we have a great opportunity to pick up a bunch of Senate seats. And the one in Arizona is the most important. We have to take this one back. We have to remove it from the hands of frankly, radical Democrats. They're not even Democrats that you and I, Frank, grew up with. This is a Democrat party that doesn't resemble the Democrat party. They're using the moniker Democrat, but they're really Marxist. And hinging on full-blown communism.
Moving the country in a direction that, frankly, I can't stand it. It's driving me crazy.
We're losing our country, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And I've got two boys. I'm still raising two. I mean, they're 25 and 20, but they're still, they're coming up in the world. And so this is what they're leaving for them.
And they even recognize, I mean, this young generation, I'm most... encouraged by seeing all the young people on the campaign trail who come up to me and say, I didn't realize I was a Republican until I started following you, and I'm a Republican. I'm so thankful that you're running.
Yeah.
Young people all over are encouraged by our message, which is a message of putting our country first, building up this country so that they have a future, that they are able to attain the American dream if they work hard, do the right things. And the way it's going right now, I have two kids as well. My babies are 19 and 20, almost 21.
Sort of close to mine.
We talk at the dinner table whenever we have a great opportunity to have dinner together. And they always say, I don't know that I'll be able to do what you and Dad did, that we'll be able to accomplish what you did. We're worried that how could we ever afford a house? How could we ever make a living like you have?
That should never
be. And it's not because they're lazy. They want to do the hard work. But even putting in the hard work right now does not get the results that we got in our generation when we did the right thing, worked hard. And so I just want to deliver a great America. I think America First policies are the way to do that. We have a lot of troubles and problems in America right now. And the great thing about President Trump, when he was in office, he showed us that you can fix these problems. These are not impossible problems to fix if you just apply policies that put our country first. Here's the issue. The Uniparty, the Democrats in D.C., they want these problems. They create problems like the border crisis, which, by the way, President Trump had pretty much solved. It was on the way to completely solving it and finishing the wall. And then Joe Biden on day one, hour one, pulled back a great policy, creating this invasion. And they have no desire to fix it. We saw that disastrous bill that came out this week. They don't want to fix it because they want to have this huge problem so they can pour billions of dollars into the symptoms without ever fixing the problem.
Right.
They love to pour billions
into
symptoms.
Well, get people used to getting free money. I mean, that's where
they hold their power.
Yeah.
I can dole out money to this group, to that group, to this NGO, to that community, to that business, to deal with the problems that we created without ever wanting to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Because problems are money for them.
Well, it's funny, as I watch, as I've been following your race, it's funny to watch, One of your challenges, I guess she's announced, Senator Sinema.
She hasn't announced yet.
She hasn't announced what she's going to do.
It's
so interesting because all of a sudden, she went from Democrat to independent, and then she's trying to.
And became more liberal, by the way.
Yeah, which is bizarre, right? Except for the border. All of a sudden, the border is the most important thing, right? And which is crazy because she wasn't when she was first there.
And that border fix is it's laughable what they did. Did you have a chance to pour through that?
I did, yeah.
You know, it's almost as if she doesn't live in Arizona. And she really doesn't. She lives in D.C. And so we were waiting with high hopes. You know, they had talked and talked about how incredible this border policy, this fix was going to be. And we waited. And then we got 300 pages of junk.
Junk.
$118 billion, $90 billion of which was going overseas to kill people. And $20 billion that didn't do anything to secure the border. And Americans, Arizonans, were waiting for something from our Arizona senator who helped write this legislation that would secure the border and stop the invasion. And that's not what the legislation did at all.
No.
And it's as if they're holding Americans hostage saying, oh, you want a secure border? All right, well then pony up, hand over the money. We're going to send it overseas to Zelensky and other folks overseas for war. And then we'll do a tiny little Band-Aid on the border problem.
Yeah,
we want a fix on the border and we demand a fix. We're not going to wait around. We're not going to be held hostage by a bunch of lazy, bought and paid for politicians in D.C. That's why I want to go to D.C. and fix these problems. And I'm not going to sit there and agree to billions of dollars for a war in Ukraine while we have a war on our border. We have military age men pouring across every day.
It's the only thing coming across.
Hundreds of thousands of people from China and 168 other countries. These aren't huddled masses, families. There's a few people in there that are families.
Yeah.
And I am so afraid of what's going to happen in this country. And it is going to happen. We're not going to avoid a disaster from this open border. And shame on Kyrsten Sinema and shame on these sellouts in D.C. for holding us hostage and doing nothing to secure that border except try to extract money from us for war.
Yeah. I mean, the two should never have been in the same bill. I know how Washington works. You know, they put, you can't do it in the state side, but you can do it in D.C. You know, you hold one thing hostage for another. But the problem is, you know, you're right. You know, so what that they put in money for Ukraine and, you know, money for Israel. And, you know, you can see those problems separately and you can see that they need to be dealt with separately, but they have nothing to do with the invasion that's happening along the border of the United States.
Right.
And the destruction to everything, the economy, the people, jobs, you know, crime, everything that's happening from the border up. You can just see it happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, here, you know, at least in Texas, you know, Governor Abbott, you know, at the time, everybody thought it was crazy. He started busing, you know, them to other states and busing them to particularly New York and Colorado and other places. But it was a brilliant move because now everybody understands what, you know, the border states like Arizona and Texas and Southern California have been dealing with. And really probably, I almost don't want to include California because they've been welcoming and they've just been adding money and giving them
and
whatever they want.
Health care.
Yeah, pay for health care, give them a driver's license.
And a ballot.
Yeah, and a ballot.
Eventually.
Yeah, it is such a cynical view of what they think these migrants are going to do. They're not going to vote. They're not going to vote, but they're going to write their name down on a ballot and they're going to use them.
Yeah.
You know,
a mail-in ballot will be sent somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. I don't think people understand that, how that all works, but
I think they're starting to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that Governor Abbott is getting serious on the border. And because of that, we're seeing more of an influx of more people coming in through Arizona. Unfortunately, you know, as governor, when I ran for governor, I had the most bold, aggressive border plan. Much of what we're seeing Governor Abbott do was part of my border plan, which is basically the states can take control and secure the border. When there's an invasion, the Constitution has a provision where the states can take control if the federal government is failing at their duties to protect us from an invasion in the Guarantee Clause, Article 4, Section 4. And there's an absolute failure to protect us from this invasion. It is an invasion. And Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 allows for the states to protect their citizens. I'm glad that Governor Abbott's doing that. My plan was to do that starting on day one. I've personally never been a fan of busing people around because I think that means we are then taking part in human smuggling and a smuggling operation. But, you know, there's no room for everybody.
Yeah.
And my plan was to send them on a bus back across the border. And I know we would have gotten in trouble.
Right.
Get, you know, you're here illegally and you have to go.
Yeah.
And I know that we would have been met with lawsuits, but you know what? That's just the world we're living in. Lawfare is one of the weapons in That's their right. arsenal, and we will fight back. And I hope that Governor Abbott continues to be strong on this and shows the rest
Stand
of the states
up for what's
what to
right,
do.
Just like you're talking yeah. about, just what exactly what you want to do. And you know, I hope when you get there, and I can call you Senator Lake, that you are that kind of disruptive force to get them to do what they need to do, because I don't understand.
Yeah, you can call it disruptive, and I like that. I mean, yes, we need to disrupt what's wrong, but it's yeah. also a reparative.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, disruptive makes it sound like I'm going to go and tip over the apple cart, set it on fire, which I am. But when you got a bunch of rotten apples, wrong, you've got to get rid of them. Yeah. But it's really reparative. It's restorative. We need to restore our country yeah. back to its founding principles, which are so brilliant and beautiful. That's what this whole country was built upon. Yeah. And so I think the fear is that I'm somebody who's going to go in there and be impossible to work with. No, not at all. I came from a family of nine. I mean, you have to work with each other yeah. when you have a family of nine.
And disruptive, you know, I don't see that as a bad word. I think I mean,
I don't
kind
either,
of, I think what you exactly how you explained it is disruptive in the sense that what's wrong with what's going on needs to be yeah. repaired. So with nobody else seems to be wanting to do that. They seem to be kind of just following the pattern, and we seem and nothing happens. And so, you know, hopefully disruptive means actually doing some very positive things for, you know, Americans is what we all hope
exactly
for.
Exactly what it is.
Right.
Well, and I always called President Trump a disruptor. We needed a disruptor at the time.
Yeah.
But I think also one of the fears that because the media has been so unfair in covering me and just as they have with President Trump.
Yeah.
That people back in D.C. hear disruptor and they go, oh, we don't want her. We'll do anything we can to keep her away. I want them to know I'm coming to D.C. to do the people's business and the work for the people. And I'm starting to see a change in D.C. Look at this border bill, this piece of garbage bill that was DOA, dead on arrival. It went down in flames.
Didn't go anywhere.
There were people who you looked at and you went, whoa, I can't believe that senator voted against that. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And then the Ukraine spending, the $90 billion they wanted to send overseas. I know it passed, but a lot of people that I thought would have voted for that did not. And so I think the people in D.C. are recognizing that the American people are on to what's happening. They're very much in tune to what's happening, and they are paying attention. And they will not stand for politics as usual.
Yeah.
And so I just got the endorsement of the NRSC, which is the campaign kind of, you know, thank you, fundraising arm of the Senate GOP. And, you know, I think that's considered more of a traditional Republican group.
Yeah.
But I truly want to bring Republicans together.
Yeah.
I haven't always agreed with the traditional establishment. Some people call them Republicans.
Right.
We've disagreed on many things, but I believe that all Republicans agree on about 95% of everything.
Right.
And we're in an election year and we're focusing on the 5% we disagree on. I'm trying to make Republicans realize we agree on 95% of the same stuff. Yeah. Let's work to empower our party, build on what we agree on, and then we can, you know, have squabbles and debate over what we disagree on. And I know some of the stuff we disagree on is big.
Yeah.
Ukraine spending, the border. But if we're going to just sit and shoot at each other 10 months before the most important election in our lifetime, in our history,
it makes no sense.
The Democrats will win.
They will win. They'll
and I'm not willing to do that. So I'm working really hard to bring Republicans together. I'm reaching out. I'm extending an olive branch to people who are, you know, the more traditional Republicans who have not wanted to vote for me, who don't like me. And I'm saying, let's work together. Let's agree that we both love this country. And let's put our egos and everything aside and figure out how we can come find common ground on some things. And then we can work on the stuff we disagree on. But if we continue to be at each other's throats, and I know you have a little bit of that going on in Texas right now, or
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, or a lot.
Guess
yeah.
who wins at the end of the day?
Well, the Democrats are going to win. It's 100%. And it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it because, you know, I sit there and I've been started out and I've been a lobbyist for 30 years. And so this is sort of new, this doing a podcast, but I felt like it was time to start talking about these issues rather than, you know, I'm always, you know, working on the other side, you know, at the Capitol. And it's as we got into the last, probably the last 10 years, things have just started to deteriorate, maybe even a little bit more than that, but just deteriorate in the sense that you've got a House and a Senate that no longer function together. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have the same priorities and they're run differently, much differently. And I had this conversation yesterday. We had someone on the show and we had that exact conversation. In the 90s, it was a different world. You had sort of, more of the George Bush type of Republicans. But that's what operated in that world. We're in the 2000s and things are different. The world's different. Yeah. The issues are different. They're bigger and so we have to be able to, as a party, both sides have to be able to move. And I don't think we can stay in the 90s. We have to move forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're talking about. It sounds like you're.
Well, we're right in a great. The issues are grave now. They're not issues that are like, well, we can kick this down the can down the road. We're going to kick the can on the border down the road. We won't have a country. We've got, you know, depending on whose numbers you believe, and I don't tend to believe the government's numbers, 12 million people. President Trump says by the end of the Biden administration, I almost said, oh, Biden. That's kind of accurate. We may have 18 million people here under the Biden-vasion that have come in. We're not going to have a country much longer. These are not issues that, you know, somebody said to me in an interview recently, are you not for compromise? I said, I'm absolutely for compromise on some things. Some things we can compromise on. We're talking about a dollar amount going to this or that, a percentage here. We can negotiate on that. But negotiating on national security with a wide open border and millions of people pouring across, a weapon of mass destruction called fentanyl killing hundreds of thousands of people, young people.
Yeah,
I don't know. How do you compromise? And who wants to compromise on that? I want names.
Well, what's the plan, this compromise? I haven't heard of compromise. All I've heard is, you know, we let everybody across. And I've got close friends that lost a son to fentanyl.
Everyone in Arizona knows somebody, whether a loved one or they know somebody who lost a loved one. So I want names of people who want to compromise on the border. There is no compromise. We need national security. We need a border wall. It works so well. And we know it works because Joe Biden sent his people down to weld the gates into the open position in parts of Arizona. If the border wall didn't work, they wouldn't have had to weld them open. And so I'm for compromise on some things, but not the safety and security of my fellow countrymen, not the safety and security of my children so that they don't get their hands on fentanyl.
No.
We can compromise on other bills, but I don't know who in the right mind wants to keep this wide open border.
I don't know. What is the plan?
Kyrsten Sinema obviously does.
Yeah, she does, even though she acts like she doesn't, you know, but that I think everybody sees
through that. She's acting like shame on everybody who didn't like this.
Oh, yeah.
I put forth a comprehensive, there was nothing comprehensive.
So hard. I know. I was very surprised. Honestly, I was very surprised that Senator Langford was part of that because I just did not see him as someone that would have written a bill like that. I don't know him personally, but just watching
but the
what
problem
he,
is the people they had negotiating. You've got the Democrat and then you have a second Democrat who's, you know, Sinema, and then you have Langford. And there was nobody in that room that was a strong advocate for true border security.
Yeah.
So they're negotiating a bill and they're not even thinking of a border wall or true border security. It strikes me as just completely out of touch with what's happening. And I know I'm speaking to you, Frank, and people who listen to your show. We get it. We're in a border state. We get it. We see it with our own eyes.
They certainly do. They certainly do. And they're angry about it. And, you know, one thing we're seeing here is, you know, Latino voters, which were traditionally, you know, Democratic voters, things are changing. I don't know if they're changing the same way they are in Arizona as they are in Texas, but they are changing. And it's the border issue is one of the big issues because they're coming across right through probably one of the most Democratic areas in Texas and stomping on all of those people. And they've now realized what is going on. We have a Democratic president who's done nothing but ignore us and allow us to be stomped on. And so I guess really he doesn't really care about what Democrats care about, which they, you know, they've just been traditionally Democrat.
Yep.
But they're finding out that with the economy, you know, they're entrepreneurial, they have businesses, that's bad.
They want their families to thrive. Yeah.
All of
education.
The wokeness and everything. It is just off the charts bad. And it, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, people like you will stand up and run, and you take a lot of heat. And, but you know, I've been seeing some good reporting on you lately.
Really? Better. Send it my way.
Well, better. It's better than it was. You know, I mean, you know, they're always so
bad. You know, it's funny. They did research on me. I remember when I first decided to jump in as an outsider into politics, we looked at the polling. It was like, my positives, favorables were off the charts. You know, 85% of Arizonans knew my name, and not just knew my name, knew me very well. I was in their homes for 3 hours a day for 27 years.
Yeah.
You can't buy that kind of a friendship with the people and understanding. And they went into a panic mode. They're like, we have to drag. How do we bring her favorables down? And they just started reporting negative. I mean, lies. I would read an article and I'd go, I'm a journalist. I've gotten through four sentences and there's already five lies or inaccuracies in four sentences. And the whole, you know, the whole article would be like that. But there was during the campaign trail when I was running for governor, they did a survey. Somebody did a survey. And it was like, this is pretty obvious for us. The survey was that Republican candidates, 87% of the stories written about them are negative.
Yeah.
And I said, well, no, duh, of course. And I read through the whole article and it was done, was backed with like polling and science and all that. And the very last sentence was, but there was one candidate running who had 100% negative coverage. And it was me.
Wow.
And I thought, what have I done wrong to these people? But I think I know what it is. They hate Donald Trump. They hate outsiders.
They do.
Who are not controlled. You can't blackmail them. You can't bribe them.
Yeah.
They are working truly for the people. They don't need the lobbyists, the consultant class. They don't need their support, really. They have the people. And they have to stop that because it threatens your whole system.
That's right. And negative, you know, negative campaigning works. We know that, you know, all you got to do is say it enough times and people, you know, start to believe it. And so, you know,
that's the unfortunate thing about President Trump. People, and I've gotten to know him very well. We're good friends. I respect and I love the man for what he's done for our country. And he's just a good person.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the media's just lied about him for 8 years straight. When I meet people, and inevitably you meet people who say they don't like him. And I say, well, I get that because I know what you've been seeing for 8 years straight.
Sure, you've been exposed to the most awful stuff.
If you woke up and there was a nasty story about you and you'd be very upset about it, and then you flip the channel and there's another nasty, terrible lies being spread, and then you multiply that by 365 days and then by eight, that's what President Trump has had to deal with.
I don't know how he does it. I'm amazed.
You can't blame the people when they don't like him. They've been inundated with just complete lies.
Yeah.
Brainwashing. It's really sick what has happened. Yeah. And thankfully, people are seeing through it. They're saying, wait a minute, our lives were better. At least he cared about securing the border. He didn't want this woke garbage pushed on our kids. He gave us a good economy. Inflation was lower. Mortgage rates were lower. My bottom line in my 401k was better.
Yeah,
I could afford to retire. Now I think I have to work a few more years.
You felt safe. You didn't feel like, you know, we were going to go to war. You didn't feel like you had to worry about, you know,
peace in the Middle East. What's wrong with that?
It's crazy that people don't look at any of that and they want
to
just look at that. They are. They're starting to pick up on it. And I think, you know, actually, I think Trump has moderated. That's probably not the right term. But I think the language he's using is much better for people to understand kind of what he did and what he's getting ready to do when he wins in November.
He definitely is. I mean, I'm watching. I've been with him on the campaign trail. I've heard him speak in a very magnanimous way, asking for unity, talking about unity. You know, here's the problem. The mainstream media won't even cover his speeches. He wins Iowa.
I know.
And Rachel Maddow will not even cover his speech. They know they cannot let that man speak because the minute he does, and the few viewers they have left who they've been lying to, once they hear him, it's game over for Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
That's why they won't have me on. I offer my myself. I'd love to come on and talk to you. CNN, I was at, I think it was Iowa or New Hampshire, doing a little campaigning for President Trump. And Dana Bash, like, literally ran and hid from me. She works with CNN. And I thought, oh, how funny. She didn't realize she was running and hiding. And one of my team members was standing there watching her, hiding from me. because she knows every time I see her, I say, Dana, when are you going to have me back on? I want to come on and talk to your audience about what we want to do to make America great, what we want to do to improve the lives of Americans in this country. Will you please have me on? I want to come talk to your listeners. But they won't, because the minute they have someone like Trump on, the minute they play his speeches, they're going to wake up the viewers they have. And those viewers are going to run as far as fast as they can and as far away from MSNBC and CNN as they can.
Yeah. Every once in a while I try to watch, those channels just so I can see what the other side's saying. I cannot stay on that channel for very long. It's just so bad. It really is bad.
I did this last night in my hotel room. And I thought, I haven't turned on CNN or MSNBC for a while. It was unbearable.
It is
the
unbearable.
Level and the thickness that they're laying on just this propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
It saddens me to think anybody's still falling for it. But I've seen their numbers and the ratings aren't that good.
Well, the ratings are bad. And we have this sort of split in our country, and people are they just want to fight. And, I know you get this all the time because you're out there talking to people and you're running for office. But I, try not to talk about politics when I'm just, maybe I'm at a spin class or I'm at the store or whatever, mm-hmm. and I run into people. But I happened to be working out and I ran into the husband of a friend of mine, and the word Trump came up. We weren't talking about him. The word came up and he unloaded on me for about 5 minutes about just how awful anybody who even thinks that, Trump that, and I didn't expect it. Just,
wow.
I don't even know him that well. And I think that's been what they're sowing on MSNBC and mm-hmm. CNN.
And the instinct for somebody would be to say, okay, well, let's just not talk about that. My goal is to try to get people talking again and say, well, tell me, what is it? In a calm way, not like, what do you have against Trump? But what is it that really bothers you about him, or take him out of the picture, about the policies that he had?
Yeah.
And just start that conversation and truly want to hear what they have to say. We have to eventually start talking to each other again. That was the whole point of COVID and masking us and keeping us 6 feet apart, is to keep us from talking. And we've gotten away from that. And we desperately need to start coming together, not just as Republicans, but as Americans. And how do we bring Americans together if we Republicans can't even come together?
Yeah.
And I know there's some Republicans who really don't like Trump. I think they're realizing inevitably that he will be the nominee. I believe that. And I think most people are coming to that realization. I'm thrilled about it.
I can't imagine he's not going to be.
Some Republicans maybe aren't. But once the realization settles in, then we can talk about how do we move forward and work to solve the problems. It's going to rely, the country will rely on the party of Lincoln once again to save this republic. Always does. And I'm thrilled to be in this America First Republican Party. I think we have to remind people that are more traditional Republicans that that's where the party is. And we want you in this party with us. We want some of your ideas. Some of your ideas are great. Please come and work with us to save this country. We want you on board with us. And guess what? We want independents joining in, and we want disaffected Democrats who are looking at the Democrat Party going, this is not the Democrat Party that I signed up for.
Right.
It's time we come together. So I'm looking forward to it. But there are things that compromise I don't think is possible, as we talked about, and the border is one of them.
Well, that's a great message that you just, everything you said, I agree with 100%. And I would, If there's something that we can do or people can do that are listening to help in your campaign, let us know and we'll put that out there and we'll have you back on anytime you want to. I mean, I'll drive to Arizona.
Yeah.
And we'll,
that'd be great.
We'll do it.
With
we'll
this
do
van,
another
it'd
one.
Be great. You'll have Arizona's most beautiful state ever.
I know. And you can't miss this van with the
great
big state house on the side.
Well, some of the other things, there's things that we can work together on. But there's, as a mother of two, and I want every child to have a happy, healthy life and grow up and be able to have the American access to the American dream. But some of the stuff they're pushing in our schools, which is just pure psychological abuse on our children.
Oh, awful.
Pushing these gender surgeries that are mutilating our perfect children. And these are things that have to stop. And it's going to take a mother to go to DC and say, this is a priority. And I know President Trump feels it's a priority. This is diabolical what they're pushing on our children. It's unhealthy what they're pushing on our children, both mentally and physically. They are being set up for a lifetime of serious, serious health problems. So this is a battle that is worth fighting for. And I don't think there's compromise. I don't think there's compromise in that one. We've got some big issues where there isn't compromise.
Yeah.
But there will be things that we can compromise on.
Well,
but
I am with you on that. I don't think there's any compromise when it comes to what you're teaching and what you're exposing our children to in schools. I do not think that schools have they don't have the expertise. There's nobody there that's some kind that they're not all psychologists or psychiatrists. They have not been trained so that they can teach, you know, kids about gender. That's not what they do. I mean, that's I've tried to get Riley Gaines on, and I'm going to keep trying to get her on because I think that issue is another huge issue.
Oh, it's terrible for our women's
transgender
sports.
It's awful. It's just 100% awful. And that can't be where we're going. I think some of that's kind of people are getting a little bit tired of seeing that, but it's still there. And I don't know that it's going to go away all by itself.
I'm always surprised though when you see some, you know, governor signing in legislation that's supporting it. I know what is going on.
What are you doing? What advised you on this? It makes no sense.
No sense. One of the other issues I really want to push, and I think Texas will relate to this, is I want to get our energy sector up as strong as we can possibly make it. You know, the two things Joe Biden did on day one was peel away an effective border policy that President Trump had implemented with the Remain in Mexico, Title 42, building the wall. We had hundreds of millions of dollars of border wall material that was already paid for, ready to put up, and could have been put up in a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
Joe Biden ceased all of the construction on that on day one, hour one, and let that material just sit there on the desert floor. And then he sold it for a couple million dollars, pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, it was awful.
It's theft. I think he stole that from the people.
Yeah. If you look at the things that happened, you know, when Biden took office, particularly when it came to the border and particularly when it came to energy, those two big things there, I cannot put my finger on any reasonable policy reason to do that. That makes any sense whatsoever.
Because he wants to weaken and destroy our country.
And that's not a good reason.
No, it's not a good reason. But when you elect somebody who has been, you know, bought off by our adversaries, and we know that Russia's paid him money. We know Ukraine, Burisma, China. I mean, China's our adversary. And he's taking tens of billions of dollars from them and his family's being enriched by them. That means he's not working for us. And those two decisions he made between the energy sector and ending the pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline, the construction of that and what he did on the border were meant to start the absolute decline and destruction of America. Having an invasion happening, having prices go up, of course, when oil prices shot up and gasoline prices, and we lost so many high paying jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't live on these service jobs. People can't make a living on these service jobs. We need people in the service industry.
Right.
But we need these high-paying jobs. And President Trump wants to bring back manufacturing. He wants to bring back our energy sector so that it's so strong we are energy independent, energy dominant. We shouldn't be at the teat of the Middle East for our energy needs anymore. And Biden wants to ship it all off. Yeah. We want to bring it all back home, make America so strong, so strong. And we can do that. I'm looking forward to it. I think about the difficulty ahead, there is going to be some difficulty, but when we get into DC and we get some people who are truly America first and start accomplishing these things, I can't wait to see how great America is. Our greatest days are truly ahead of us. I believe that with all my heart, and I want to go work for the American people, and I want to make life better for Republicans, independents, even Democrats, even liberal Democrats. I want to make their life better.
Sure.
And if they're honest with themselves, they will admit that 4 years ago, their life was better under President Trump.
Yeah.
And we're going to get some great policies in there and make everyone's life better and safer and more prosperous.
That's fantastic.
You can go to carrielake.com, by the way, if you want to learn more. I put all of my policy right there. I don't believe in, one sentence policy. I want to put it all out, lay it all out.
We'll make sure to put that in there so people can go to it and they can see what you're all about. And Perfect. We need you in the U.S. Senate so you can help us get back to, you know, the America that we used to have.
That's right.
We're real excited about it. And again, thank you so much for all the time you gave us today. We're really proud to have you on our show, and I hope to see you again soon.
Let's do it again.
I mean it. I'll come to Arizona, and we'll do one there.
That'd be a great road trip. We'll visit the border. You know, I'm hoping something's done with the border before the election. I doubt it. You know, I don't want credit for anything. I just want my country back. And if they can solve the problem before then, I don't think we have the people in D.C. right now to do it.
Yeah.
They haven't shown the courage. But maybe something will change and they'll finally say, you know what, we got to work together and make this happen and secure the border, get America back on track. If they don't, we're going to get busy starting in January 25, and I will roll up my sleeves and I will work tirelessly for the American people.
We plan on seeing you there.
Awesome.
So thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you very soon. And again, let us know anything else that we can post for you so that we can get people to see what you're all about. And you've told us a lot today. And again, thanks for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of State House. You can find this podcast anywhere you find your podcast today. If you like our program and you want to see more, please subscribe, like it, share it with others. If you've got a comment, leave us a comment. Anything that makes us better, we appreciate. And we really appreciate, if you like it, to give us a 5-star review. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.